read John 14 this week?
Yes, sir.
Did you get anything out of John 14 this week? Please pray for me because there's so much He's given me, I don't even know how to give it as a little bit. In my Bible, in John 14, it starts off with a chapter heading saying, Jesus' parting words to His disciples. There's so much in John 14, but I asked you to read that this week, and I'm glad for those that said that they read it multiple times. And all they could say was, there's so much there. But I want you to notice some things that Jesus said. And I asked you to write down phrases of truths as you were reading John 14. And I gave you a few last week. I just kind of was going through hitting some. But let's look at verse 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know what I'm not doing an exhaustive search here, but do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, you committed your trust unto God. Commit your trust unto me. I couldn't say that. Jesus is saying, do you know who I am? I'm God. Jesus is God. And he says, I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be troubled. You don't need to be. The same way you trusted in God, you can trust in me. And as he goes through here, we're going to see Jesus' love for us, his care for us. He's talking to his disciples. He's getting ready to leave the planet. And he's sharing, this is like such a rich chapter. We talked last week about, will you believe? Will you believe? Jesus basically is saying in this chapter, do you understand what I'm saying now? He says, do you understand what I'm saying now? Do you believe it? Do you believe me? Do you remember when you met Jesus? I'm thinking about these songs we were just listening to. Do you remember when you met Jesus? The song we were just singing, I have seen I am, and now I know that I am loved. I've seen I am, and now I know who I am. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you?
Yes.
Do you remember when you met Jesus? Now, when you look at your life, do you see your shortcomings? Do you see all the things inside of you? Attitudes, judgments, anger, all the things. Do you see all that? I will never forget when Jesus first came to me. The thing that blew me away, I knew who he was. Because I've been in church and been taught about him. But the thing that blew me away was his hands held out to me. Like he wanted me. I didn't even always want me. And other people rejected me. And other people gave me looks and said things and sideways glances and insinuated things. And here's Jesus wanting me. What do you believe about what Jesus is saying here? What do you believe about Jesus? Do you know that he loves you? And what do you think love? think about just that word, unconditional, what does that mean?
There's nothing you can do when you're just that loving.
Did you hear that? And he loves us. I like Romans 5:8 where it says, but God commended, God demonstrated, God showed his love, his kind of love toward us, in that while we were still sinning, while we were sinners, it says, while we were still sinning, Jesus loved us. He died for us. He didn't just love us and have warm fuzzy feelings like our grandmother. He said, I see your need and I'm going to do what it takes to meet the need, and that is going to require my whole life. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be afraid. I did everything necessary to secure this relationship with God. Eternally, I love you unconditionally. I didn't love you when you straightened up. I didn't love you when you did everything right. I loved you in the midst of your attitudes. I loved you in the midst of getting mad at somebody or to even witnessing to you and telling you the truth. By the way, there's things that I may say where Harvey gets out, but it may be God, but you think it's Harvey. If something touches you, that is said, maybe it doesn't apply. Maybe you're taking it the wrong way. Or maybe God is wanting to do something inside of you. And instead of wanting to get mad at the mailman, give me the same grace you want me to give with you when you have your attitudes and you do the things that you want me to love you and to forgive you and to be gracious and kind with you. Be that when we realize God positioned me. I'm not worthy. He positioned me. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be perfect. But there's some things that you may think I messed up, and it was exactly what God wanted you to hear. Because God wanted to do something inside of you. Or maybe you took it in a way that God didn't mean it. But the devil meant it, because the devil is constantly trying to divide us or to get your focus on something to get your attention off of what God wants.
Amen.
Don't let the devil have any place in you. We need to love one another. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that you don't get hurt. What that means is you get to know God the Comforter even more by running to Him and asking Him to comfort you and asking Him to show you. And you get to become more like Christ by offering somebody, let's say it's me, that hurts you or offends you. You get to be more like Christ and develop. God uses those things to develop our character, to cause us to be more like Him, where we forgive. You understand? Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Do you understand? He's saying here, do you understand what I'm saying here? I want you to read this chapter this week again. I'm asking you. Read this chapter this week again. He says, do you believe it? Do you believe me? I wrote a little note here to the Holy God. I don't have an outline here because I have so many that I don't know which way to go with each one. But I'm going to give you this. Let's write down the truths that God gives us here. And let's read them daily. And let's pray that our God would increase our faith. Because we choose to believe these truths about Jesus' love and deep care for us. What is your concept of God's love for you? Do you honestly believe His love is unconditional? What about when you don't love yourself? Because because you're doing things or you're mad at yourself. Beat yourself up because you don't do everything you know you should do, or you treat people, get mad at the kids, or, you know, you find yourself yelling at other people driving down the road. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I hear that word.
That means strong coming, brother, but here's a thought. What do you believe? Because this is where Jesus wants to go in this chapter. What is it you believe about his love for you? Because if you believed it the way he believes it, the way it really is, it would change everything about your life. Everything about your life. You remember that verse, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? But the truth can only make you free, first if you believe it, and then if you apply it. That means, for example, I don't know why this just keeps coming to my mind, but it just keeps coming to my mind the last month or so that God just quickened this to me. I've struggled in pride and with pride my whole Christian life. I had it before, I didn't even know. But then when I came to Christ, you know, before I knew, I did some things. But when I met Jesus, all of a sudden I started realizing how many things weren't in line with God. You know what I mean? It's like, my standards were way out here, and then when I met God, I found this shit from way up here, and I'm like, oh, I'm like,
I'm way down here.
So we go through these months of pride day up there. And every week ended up on me. But it's because I had so much pride, and because God was trying to take the hammer of his word and get through to me.
Yeah.
And I want to be so open and vulnerable that I don't care if he calls me crystal or glass, he can call me whatever. You know, I want to be open because I really want him. It's not always comfortable. In fact, it's usually not. But they brought me to a place because I kept seeing all this pride in me. And I tried to not be proud, but it didn't happen. How about you? Other things, apply it in your life in whatever the area is. But he gave me this so simple, and I want to make sure you own this. Have you ever wanted something for somebody so bad, and you can't, you do what you can, say what you, and they just, it's like, they don't get it, and you want it for them so bad, just like, if you could just get this, this is one thing, you know, like, this thing would just change your life so much. So let me give you this one thing. Because he's given it to me, and it just took so much burden off of me that I want to help you. When you see a truth, when you see something in your life, God brings something to your attention. You say to God, you first say to yourself, this is true. And you admit it. But don't admit it by, yes, true, but it's so-and-so's fault. Or yes, true, but they made me. Or yes, true, but I'm not in the best army. Or, you know what I'm saying?
JD.
It is JD, but I wasn't trying to. I'm trying to say in different words. So when we see a truth, when we see something in our life, I can't quit being greater. Whatever. Okay? I mean, maybe we can identify with that. I think that hits all of us, maybe. Okay. Can't quit being selfish. Then you admit to God, we admit to God, God, I am selfish. I am angry. I am impatient. I am whatever it is, without any qualifying or justifying or anything, just completely. God, I am impatient. But God, I don't want to be impatient anymore. I see it. I see it for what it is. I want to see it more. Because I want to see it the way you see it. But I see it right now, and God, I am making a choice, an eternal choice. That's how I understand it. I don't want that in my life anymore. But God, I can't quit. But I don't want it. So I need you to come and quit it for me. See what I'm saying? I need you to come and change me. I need you to come and deliver me. I need you to come and Jesus me. I need you to come and change the way I think about it. I need you to come and change my heart the way I feel about it. That's granting repentance. Repentance is not you stopping. If it is, then you walk around like a rooster, your chest stuck out, and you judge others because I quit this, I do that. And then you become self-righteous, and you judge everybody else, and you can't help it because that's pride. And we're living in that kingdom of pride in that area. Our mind gets polluted, gets twisted from the truth. But we come to Him and we say, God, this is true, but I don't want it to be true in my life anymore. And I'm making a choice. I do not want it. But Jesus, I can't quit. I will do what I can. And every time it comes, every time I'm aware of it again, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to bring it immediately under your blood. Immediately get honest about it. Immediately cast myself at your feet for mercy, for forgiveness, but for deliverance. For you to change me. For real change. Can you see that being Jesus? Can you see that being God? If we don't do that, what we do, and we've all done this, we beat ourselves up. We find ourselves getting mad at ourselves, getting discouraged, getting disappointed, feeling hopeless, feeling like we'll never change. And we get in this despair and discouragement. But you see, here's Jesus saying, I give grace to the humble. And the humble are people that admit the truth and admit they can't quit doing it. But admit, make a choice, I don't want it, but if you don't come and deliver me, I'm going to be like this tomorrow. And I'm going to be like this next year, and I'm going to be like this 10 years from now. Now, this is not microwave Christianity stuff. What's going to happen, what I mean by that is, it's not going to be instant. Boom. All of a sudden, Jesus showed up. My wife is dying. I just beat the devil. Now everything's okay, and you're all different. No, because He's wanting to do a deep and thorough work inside of us. And there are roots and root systems and belief systems and things where we've allowed that to come and enter and live, and we've embraced it, and it's covered our whole way of thinking, and He wants to change us. Because He really loves us for the long run. He's not looking at a quick fix, throw a band-aid on it, and everything go away. I have people in my business want me to do band-aid work. Well, I'm just selling it. Can you just do this? I said, would you want to buy a house that had this? And they won't look me in the eye and they can't answer me. I said, then why would you want me to do something that you wouldn't want done? Yeah, you're right. Well, you're right. But it's going to cost more to do it right. The band-aid's a quick fix. But it's not the right way. God's not into quick fixes. When he came and found you, he knew you were a lifelong project. He knew this is going to be a lot of work. He knew. They are going to argue with me. They're going to fight me. They're going to resist me. They're going to disobey me. They're going to blame me. They're going to say they love me while they love all these other things more than me in so many areas of their life. I want this. And he's like, but I still want you. I love you. He said, you are worth my time. He said, I'll stand in line when you put other things in front of me. He said, you don't like standing in line, but I will stand in line for you. He said, I don't care if it takes 20 years to get you to the next step. I will deal with you. I'll keep loving you. I'll keep forgiving you. Even when you want to blame lies and call me and names and blame me and get mad at me, you know, as if I did something wrong because you don't understand it with your little pea brain, you know, and it's like, but I love you. We're only right now talking about one word, unconditional love. I ask you, how do you perceive God's love for you? You see, you probably look at God the way you look at your mom or your dad. You probably equate God to your dad or to your mom or to both. Your concept of God is probably based on your relationship with your parents. If your parents were not faithful, you don't expect God to be faithful. If your parents yelled at you, you expect God to yell at you. We used to have a man come here when we were out on 92nd Street, and he used to say all the time that God yelled at him. I'm like, every time he said it, I cringed. I'm like, I can't see my God yelling, screaming. He would say he screamed at him. Well, I think it was because the guy kept arguing with God. And so he felt like God had to get louder to get through to him. You know, like he needed a bigger stick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're just not getting this with a little nudge. Jesus had me the stick. You know, he yelled out. I don't see God doing that. No. I see God allowing hard things in his life because he's done that with me. Because of pride and self-righteousness and things in my life. Where I needed the harder lessons for me to get it, because for some reason I wouldn't get it when he was just being so tender and kind. Because then I thought he was always just soft and it was, you know, I'll take charge here. Here, God, bless what I'm doing. What do you believe about his love? Do you believe his love is unconditional? Or does one of you have a testimony of when he quit loving you? Excuse me? Does anybody have a testimony of when God quit loving you? What is it you did where he quit loving you? I just want to know. Because I know where I was when he found me, and I know what I was doing and what was in my heart and where I was at, and if he loved me then, what is it I'm going to do that's worse? God ever quit loving you?
No.
But did you think He didn't love you? Where do you think that thought came from? Let's go to verse 1. Just some thoughts. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I am God. He said, you can trust Him. You can trust me. He says, I'm eternal. I don't change. See, what is your concept of God? Is it just what you got out of church? Or do you have it skewed by circumstances in life? Do you equate God to your parents? See, my dad, I never knew my dad until I was in the third grade. I only knew him by pictures. So I went through a lot of my Christian life in an abandonment mode, feeling abandoned. Because my dad abandoned me. Because he and my mom got a divorce. I'm not blaming my dad, throwing stones at him. I'm trying to say real life circumstances made me project that onto God. Remember? Earthly father, heavenly father. So think about it. What is your dad like? Now look at your dad's defects, I'm sorry, for a minute, or your mom. Look at where they're not perfect. Now, have you projected that onto God? And because I'm already telling you, you have. I'm just trying to help you identify it so we can go forward. We do want to go forward.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not preaching today. This is just like family talk because I feel like that's what God's saying and doing inside of me. This whole thing of what does love look like. This is a what does love look like series. And God is love. And if your concept, we need to ask God, God, show me what is my concept of you. Was one of your parents nag?
Are you supposed to answer on that?
Hey! One of your parents nag? One of your parents unfaithful? One of your parents a drunk and so irresponsible and selfish and not spending time with you? Maybe your parents, you think they were great and they're good, and that is great because that helps you in your concept. You have a healthier concept of God. But like you take Jemiah, she had this dad that was, he loved God, but he was religious and harsh, and God lived by the rules, and everything was. He didn't understand about the tenderness and all of that. So she grew up with that concept of God. Do you understand? And it colors her picture and her concept, her relationship with God. I'm talking as if it's just you and me. Do you want a better relationship with God?
Yes.
These things that I'm saying are so simple, but they're so fundamental that if we don't have them, what are we building on? We can't believe Him if we think He's going to abandon us. Because you are not going to go around the rest of your Christian life living in la-la talk to him, and you can't find him. And he's going to be quiet. And are you going to believe him? Or are you going to think he abandoned you? Because you can't feel him. See, in I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Well, let's say it this way. We walk by faith what we believe, not by what we feel. And you're not going to always feel God. I love it when I can feel God. But I need to have a deeper, I need to mature and have a deeper concept of who God really is. Would you do yourself a favor and read John 14 this week? Would you do yourself a favor and maybe read it more than once? And when you go to read it, if you just write down phrases like thoughts from each verse, like I wrote like this, in chapter 1, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I know you have committed your trust in God, so trust me also." He says, trust me. Verse 2, he says, "I'm preparing a place for you." Now, what if Dudley said, "I am going to build you a house tonight," and he starts building her a house on their property? He says, "Now, what? How would you like it to be?" He says, "Okay, this is what you would like. No, 20 rooms, okay, and 5 bathrooms, okay." He says, "You give me what you want, and then I'm going to do it better than what you want." And then he starts spending all his time that he can, working on that house. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Do you really believe that? What do you think that means? Have you ever thought about that? I'm sorry, I don't know how not to share all these detailed things, but do you know in this life, like for example, see, I love Sue. And I love being with Sue. But Sue and I are like quite the opposite. She does not like outdoors. If we even get in the car, she wants me to push that little button so the outdoor air can't come in the car. She doesn't want to be outdoors at all. I love outdoors. I love being a Boy Scout and going camping and, you know, I love it when I get to go out in the woods with Dudley. I love it. I love outdoors. I love the ocean. I love hiking. I love the trails. I love the fields. I love all that. I love trees. And I don't know. I just love outdoors. So the other day, last weekend, I think it was, we had beautiful weather. So Monday, I go to the bank, and the bank lady says, did you spend time outdoors this weekend? And I said, not really. I did some, but not like I wanted to, is what I was meaning. And she goes, that's too bad. Yeah, that's what she said. Right, that's what she said. That's too bad. And I said, no, I got to spend time with the one I love more than the thing I love. Now, I'm going to give you this. It's not that I'm giving up outside to spend time with Sue, but in a sense I am. Because there's times I can go, she can be free and go do what she wants. And so sometimes I do. Like when we went hunting 9 days for the bear, okay? I would love to go do that again. Okay?
I'll let him catch you.
and don't go out from the neighbor's door. But Josiah's like, I don't want you going to do that. Can't you hunt bear around here? Like, what's the backyard? And I'm like, I don't want you to leave. And I'm like, no, I want to go. It's a deal. But when we get to heaven, because I prioritize spending time with Sue, I believe God is going to give me, because I made valuable what He says is valuable. He is going to give me far more when I get to heaven, as far as outdoors, than I can get here. And it's going to be even better than when I get to here.
Amen.
Do you see how much He cares for you? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And He says, I'm not going to cookie cutter the house. He says, I know what you like, and I'm going to give you what you like. I mean, it's going to exceed you. It's all going to be living. And Judy, He says, you think? He says, just wait till you see what you're going to get, what I'm making for you already in heaven. I'm going to give you a double. Stopping on this thought, it goes through, I think, verse 9 or 10. He says, "It verse 7, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also." He says, "Do you know who I am? If you had known me, you would have known God the Father. You would have known the Creator. You would have known your Maker. You would have known the one who holds your life in his hands." He says, "If you had known me, do you know him?" Verse 9. Philip goes, "Just show us the Father, it'll be enough." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you? How long have you been saved? You didn't get saved yesterday." He goes, "Have I been so long time with you? Hast thou not known me? Do you know me? Do you know me?" Almost everybody that I know lives so much of their life in doubt, fear, confusion, and unbelief. I know you've heard me say this before. I don't know if you'll hear it different today. But what if you memorized this thought and made it your choice? "I choose to believe you, God. I choose to believe your word. And I choose to believe in you and your character. No matter what I see, no matter what I think the thoughts are coming to me, no matter what I feel, but it feels so true, I understand. No matter what others say, and no matter what others do, I choose to trust in you. I choose to believe in you. I tell them all the time, I do not like what I'm going through. But I know you said this, and I know you are true. And it doesn't matter what I see, think, feel, or what others say or do. I know you're true. So I'm going to follow you, even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't want to, even though I want to, it makes me want to doubt you." Did not Abraham have to go through this? "You're going to have a son." Excuse me. I'm sorry, are you talking to the guy next to me? Because I'm 75. "You're going to have a son." "Okay, come on, Sarah." Time with them. That's why we talk about spending time in the Word. That's why we talk about writing these things down. That's why I talk about saying things out loud. When somebody's praying and you're in agreement, say it out loud. Don't just say it in your head. If you live inside your head, you'll find yourself entertained in a lot of doubts, fear, confusion, unbelief. Because the devil will do that. But if you go and say it out loud, if it's alive, the Spirit of God's living inside of you, He's the Spirit of truth. When you go to try to speak a lie inside, it just don't feel right, you know it's a lie. But if it's in your head and you're not speaking it, the devil can take you all kinds of places. Start speaking the truth out loud. Or your thoughts, your prayers. Do it out loud. If you look at, if you just go through John 14, and you look at, he says, verse 9, have I been so long time with you? Hast thou not known me? How does this apply to my life? Do I know him? And what do I know about him? And what does he want me to know more? Other areas that are not submitted to him. Other areas. Verse 9. He that has seen me has seen the Father. When the Jehovah's Witness came to my door the other day, they can't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They can't believe Jesus is God in the flesh because it said nobody has seen God. And yet Jesus said, see, they rejected what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen Yahweh. You've seen Jehovah. But they don't receive that. That's why they don't know him. See means to be a spectator of. Have you ever been a spectator of Jesus? I'm asking you. Have you ever discerned him? Have you ever experienced Jesus? Have you ever acknowledged Jesus? Have you ever beheld Jesus? Have you ever considered him? Have you ever looked on him? Have you ever perceived or understood him? Verse 10 is a kicker. He said, believest thou not? Believest thou not? Do you not believe? He says, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Verse 11, he said the same exact words. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The Father, verse 10, the Father that dwelleth in me. Folks, the same Father that was in Jesus is now in us. Almighty God. But what do you believe about him? What do you believe about his love? Is it unconditional?
Yes.
Is it eternal? Does it never quit? No. What do you believe about him? Because it's going to determine your life. Every week, for about 13 years now, Sue and I have taught all kinds of things, whatever building we're in. Different people that have come have chosen to believe different things. Some pick up this, some pick up that, some pick up a group of them. What I don't want you to do is I don't want you to miss what Jesus has for you. Every day, Jesus is like this. I want you. I want you. Every day, he's like, I have plans for you. I have more for you. I have a future for you. I created you on purpose for the purpose. I don't want you depending on yourself. I want you depending on me. When you see your weakness, that's where I can be strong. He says, I'm not worried about what you can't do. Can you believe me? Because I can do it. He says, I want to reach every person on the planet with this love. But I first want to work in your life. I want you to be strong in me. He said, I want it to be as if you and I were the only ones on the planet that were having this love affair. He says, but for you to spend more time with me, remember the, can I borrow your cup? Can I borrow this? I don't need that. Our life is like this. When you get down to verse 15 through 24, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our life is like this cup. And he wants to fill this cup with his love and his presence. He wants to fill us with his love and his presence. The things that he so desperately wants in his life, the things you so desperately need in your life, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the provider. Jesus is what you're looking for. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, now watch this. But what we have inside of our cup are like little gravel stones. It's called stones. And there are things that are in our life that block him filling us. We can have a stone of doubt. We can have another stone of fear. We can have another stone of unbelief. We can have another stone of selfishness. We can have another stone of my way. We can have another stone of not being in submission. Whatever it he says is him. Anything that we have that's inside of us that's not of him, that fills part of us. So that part can't be filled with him. Do you understand? We've got a lot of stones inside of us. And it's not hard. You say, oh my, I've got so many stones. I mean, they might as well say I'm stone. So here's, but you say, Herbie, they might as well call me Peter, the stone, you know. I'm full of stones. And God's like, do you know how simple this is? Just make it simple. Because if you just take what was heard, you can make this hard. Because that's how we've looked at it most of our lives. It's hard. I have a man that came to work for me named Steve. He comes here sometimes to church. He would be coming here every time. But you know what? Since he came to Grant to Tubbays and God worked in him and started bringing him into this neat relationship with Jesus, he's like red hot for Jesus. Now his mother, when he's reading the Bible, he gets so excited. He has to run in the next room. Because he lives with his mother, but he's like 35 or something. He runs in the next room and shows his mother, oh, look at this verse. Because we started sharing with him about reading the Word. And when he started doing it, in the beginning, he'd read like a couple verses a day. Now he's up reading a couple chapters a day. And he's so excited, he's about to bust all the time. And he tells every one of my customers about Jesus. When he walks in the house, he thinks he's supposed to tell them, that I love Jesus, but I gotta tell you about everything else he goes through. You know? You know, because you're talking about what you're full of. But when this guy came, his life had a whole lot of mess. And his brother, who referred him to me, said, do you need another worker? And I go, yeah. And he said, well, I've got a brother who just moved here from West Virginia, I think it was, which where it was. And he goes, but I can't recommend him. Because I haven't really known him for 9 years, but I could tell by the things he said that there were things he wanted to say but didn't say. And I said, well, I'll interview him. But since he's made a choice, because he wanted his life to be different. So that's why he left West Virginia. But what he needed was Jesus.
Amen.
When he came to tough place, started sharing Jesus with him as God led. Now, let me make this how simple this is. So simple. I said, if you want Jesus, I said, this is Jesus in print. Spend time with Jesus. Let him talk to you. Because what he says is true, and the truth will set you free. The truth will deliver you. I said, it's real simple. We get up to Jesus, and then I said, you stay back to Jesus. So here's God the Father wanting me to see God the Father. And I said, you're with him. You're leaning against his breast. Everywhere you are, yeah, you're probably loving me, you know. And I said, and as you go through life, if you start to have a conversation with somebody, I said, kind of look up over your shoulder and see if he's still smiling. I said, however you talk to this person, keep them smiling. Whatever you're doing with this person, however they're treating you, he's still smiling. Now, everything's fine. I'm just keeping them smiling. And whatever I got to deal with, smiling. I said, because as long as he's smiling, I said, your life is full and you feel free. And it says you don't have the burdens and I can do anything. You have faith. And you get it? It's so simple. Just hang out with him. When somebody does something, turn around and tell them. They hurt me. They lied. They grieve me by their choices. They, yeah, see? And you just start talking to them. And you just get to be close. You hang out with them. You live Jesus. You hang, stay with them. Abide. Remain with them. Thank you, Father. And when he shows you a rock, a stone, make a choice. I don't want that anymore. Live it in me. But God, it's not me changing. It's you coming and delivering. Because I need you to change the way I think and the way. Do you know there's something that I'm praying about right now that I keep saying, God, I don't want to want what I want. I can't say I don't want this certain thing. I have to keep telling them I don't want to want this certain thing. Do you understand? That's being honest. Not saying I don't want pride or whatever. It's not pride, but whatever. No, I do want it. But I shouldn't have, because it's against God. You truth sets us free when we believe it and we choose it by applying it. The truth will set us free. It's not just because we know it. That doesn't set us free. That's only the beginning. Now what are you doing with it? I need Jesus to live his life in me. I need Jesus to deliver me. I need Jesus to comfort me. I need Jesus to change me. I need Jesus. He said in our John chapter 14, do you know me? If you knew me, you'd know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if you believe in God, believe in me. He says, do you know me? Have you seen me? Have you handled me? Have you experienced me? Or do you think I'm like your earthly dad? Or do you think I'm like your earthly mom? Or do you really believe in me for who I am? What do you believe? What does love look like? I commit this into your hands. With everything that you've shown me, all this stuff, it's like, I feel like I only scratch the surface. And yet, Lord, if we understood and received and were able to live what was talked about today, it would so revolutionize our lives that we would never be the same in our lives. But we would look back to this day almost like we got saved. It makes such a revolutionary change in the way we see you and relate to you and live our lives. I commit every word into your hands, every heart, and ask you to work in us that we would honor you by cooperating with what you're wanting to do in our hearts today through what was said. We need you desperately, Jesus. Thank you so much for wanting us so desperately. Thank you for never giving up on us. You're so awesome. Thank you.